the headline in the front of the Irish Mirror of Graham Linehan giving out to RTE for putting on a Father Ted Eurovision episode on Saturday night in place of where the Eurovision normally would have been. A listener says, I can't believe what Graham Linehan is saying. Everyone is against what Netanyahu is doing. His actions, I feel, are evil. This isn't about being anti-Semitic or anti-Israel, says the listener. It's just anti what the Israeli government and army are doing in Gaza and in Lebanon. That comes in from a North Kerry listener. Well, with that in mind, have a listen to this.
Je te laisse partir, adieu ma belle. Je te laisse partir, mais je t'aime.
Yeah, there you go. That's how it played out in Vienna last night. The first semi-final of the Eurovision or Eurovision Song Contest was played out. And Israel qualified for the grand final, one of 10 acts to progress from the first semi-final on Tuesday night. There was a mixed response from the crowd inside the arena. A voice in the crowd was heard repeatedly shouting, stop, stop the genocide, after he came on stage with the chant audible on the live broadcast throughout the introduction and first verse of the song. Some of the audience were giving their opinions on Israel in relation to that. But Israel are true to the final. Of course, it wasn't on Irish television last night because for the first time ever, it hasn't been on since its inception, because Ireland are boycotting the event because of Israel's participation alongside several other countries. With me on the line to talk about this is former Eurovision presenter herself and current Fianna Fáil MEP for Ireland South, Cynthia Ní-Mhiarracú. Cynthia, good morning to you and thanks for talking to me on the programme about this morning.
You have said
in recent days... You're in favour of the fact that we're not taking part this year as a stance against the actions of the Israeli Defence Forces and the Israeli government.
Yes, 200%. Look, the background to RTE's decision is...
No, not with us at the moment. We'll try and get her back up on the line. I don't know, were you watching it last night? Do you even care about the Eurovision this year? Are you missing it from our screens? You might let us know. Get in touch with us in the programme. The second semi-final takes place, of course, then the grand final on Saturday night. A number of you saying that you will be watching it. We'll see where it goes. I'll see if we can re-establish that line. By the way, the favourites to win this year's Eurovision are the Finnish entrants, Linda Lampinus and Pete Parkkinen. They secured their passes last night. Greece, Belgium, Sweden, Moldova, Serbia, Croatia, Lithuania and Poland will join them in the final on Saturday night. Boy George was part of it, which I was totally unaware of. He was representing San Marino, didn't make it through with his song last night, so no place for Boy George in the grand final. I think we have Cynthia there with us again. Cynthia, can you hear me?
Yes, Arashirist. Bonjour. How are you?
Yes. Indeed. How are we doing? So look, you feel that RT's decision was correct and that we're taking the right stance?
Yes, 200%, as I was saying there. The background to RTE's decision was rooted in the geopolitical tensions and the huge groundswell and rightfully so growing domestic movement in Ireland for solidarity with Palestine. So the Irish broadcaster, the independent broadcaster who makes independent editorial decisions on behalf of the state broadcaster, they clearly listened to the audience, as in the voters, the people of Ireland, people that I represent, and they clearly were saying no thank you. And could I just compliment the North Kerry listener who texted in, and you read out his text just before you went into the clip there of the Israeli entrant and getting through to the Grand Prix on Saturday night. That person summed it up beautifully. This is not anti-Semitic, this is not anti-Israeli, this is anti-Netanyahu, who happens to be the Prime Minister of Israel, but he happens to be waging an unmerciful, murderous, illegal war, as far as I'm concerned, against the people of Palestine. And it's ongoing. There's no point in saying that there has been a ceasefire and that matters are resolving, anything but when you open your phone or you look at your television, listen to your radio, and you're seeing starving mothers with children at their ankles, weakened and emaciated, and a baby on her breast and she unable to breastfeed. No hope. We're looking at the walking dead.
Okay, and that's part of the problem. It just can't be let go by without this dance. What do you say to someone that says, look, this is a song contest? The European Broadcasting Union are at pains to say this is a non-political song contest. We don't get involved in politics. So yes, politics shouldn't be part of it. Boycott shouldn't be part of it.
Of course. It's a very legitimate question. And I just wanted to give it, I suppose, a carefully thought out answer, because I have had to think about this. Look, it's public service media that we're dealing with in terms of the broadcasting companies that decide on behalf of their state to participate in this wonderful competition, which is grounded in peace and humanity and human rights. And public service media, they're not just entertainment providers. They have to be, and they should be, guided by values of human rights and international law. And we're not looking at the upholding of international law and human rights in the war that is being waged unmercifully by Netanyahu and his government at the moment. So when the participation of a state, when it becomes incompatible, as I believe it is, with the consensus of the broadcaster's domestic audience and its national values, as we've seen in RTE, and the humanitarian crisis in Gaza being the backdrop, then the choice to withdraw that RTE made is legitimate, it's well thought out, and it demonstrates clarity of editorial independence. And they didn't just cite the war that's being waged by Netanyahu and the killing and the maiming and so forth, but they spoke about journalists as well in their reasons. And they spoke about journalists being targeted and murdered as part of the war. And they also spoke about journalists not being allowed to enter the country to report on the war itself and to report authentically and with good information, not misinformation and disinformation, about the attacks that were being waged and explained, one should say, and I should say, being explained by the government of Israel from a very different perspective to some of the witnesses that ended up reporting, such as doctors and nurses, and what they experienced.
Yeah, and that's all part of the reason why. On the wider context of it, as the European Broadcasting Union says, it's an apolitical, competition. Politics, no part, but politics are part of it, aren't they? Because you look at the way it has been run. You look at the idea that 166 million people watched it last year. It's a huge audience. Yeah. There is a definite propaganda value. And last year we saw Israel coming second. The song itself received middling results from the judges. Yet afterwards there were audits carried out because several high-profile social media accounts linked to the Israeli government were calling on people to vote 20 times, which is the maximum that was allowed, to push it up the public voting charts. And that's led to a change this year. It's only 10. And again, Israel were actually warned last week because they were making calls for people to vote 10 times for the song to artificially pull it up the charts, shall we say. So there's clearly a move or a push for the propaganda value of doing well in a competition for Israel.
Yeah, well done, Jerry. I mean, this is public service broadcasting in the flesh, being done live on air by you, explaining, based on the facts, the authenticated facts, what is going on. And you're absolutely bang on the money. Your sources are bang on the money and your delivery of it. This is propaganda being paid for by the taxpayer. And if you want me to give you another analogy, in the run-up to the re-election of Orbán, which he didn't succeed in Hungary, he had state-sponsored, paid for the taxpayers, the hard-pushed taxpayers of Hungary. He had posters all over the cities and the countries talking about the fact and espousing the fact, the so-called fact, albeit misinformation, that a vote for Peter, the new Prime Minister that got in, a vote for him would be a vote for poverty because of the continuation of the funding of the war in Ukraine. And when I looked at the small print at the end of those posters on the streetscapes, they were funded by the government. Taxpayers' money. So, well done. Yes, it's pure propaganda. And, of course, the EBU can't be deaf to this. They can't be blind to this. They have to wake up now, I believe, and I will hopefully call upon them to make a statement, depending on what happens and what transpires after the Grand Prix in terms of the voting. I won't be watching it, but I'll read about it, because you've rightfully cited the example, the mini heart attack moment that I had last year when I was enjoying the competition, and suddenly, after the voting commenced and we went to the popular voting, I saw the Israeli entrant jumping up the ladder to second place. I mean, automatically in my bones, I knew there was something wrong with the voting. I knew there had to have been some interference. The EBU also need to wake up, not just to the political context and the geopolitical context, but also to the fact that the Eurovision now, by comparison with the one that I presented over 30 years ago, the Eurovision now is very different. And it's very different because of the media being driven by the algorithms and by the ability through AI, etc., to actually interfere with what we all think is authentic voting.
Yeah, that's a big question. Is that a big issue? Is Eurovision changed forever? If you talk about your time in 1994, you look at the controversy. This is the biggest boycott they've ever faced. Five countries, including one of the big five, which is Spain, one of the big broadcasters involved in it, that this is a massive controversy. Has it been damaged?
Yes.
Will it ever be the same again?
It has been damaged.
Will Ireland ever be in it again, is a question.
I hope Eurovision will continue. It should continue. It was born out of an intention, an objective, a very democratic, valid one, to have peace, to celebrate cultures, to exchange languages, and make sure that people got to know one another in a democratic setting where we could avoid wars and we could avoid tensions. Of course it should continue, but I'm not impressed by the public statements and the decisions that have been taken by the EBU. I think there was a half-hearted attempt before Christmas to say, let's get all the decision makers together in the room and we'll unveil our new set of rules for this year in light of what you've highlighted, Gerry, that happened last year. And if there's nobody objecting to the new rules, well, then we won't have to go and take a further step of considering and having a vote of asking Israel not to participate. So they didn't take that extra vote, that extra step. In my mind, that was wrong. And there should have been a holding statement to say, well, we've made this decision at this point, but it must be reviewed. We have to see, will our new rules, will they actually solve the situation? And also, they need to add to that. They need to say, as I've said, the competition has changed fundamentally because of the nature of communications, AI, algorithms, and all of that, and social media. And they need to actually take cognizance of that. And Eurovision should continue. It should go on to great things. And it should develop because it's so worthy. And it has, I mean, oh my God, look at the imprint that Eurovision has made on Ireland alone. Can you think what that's multiplied by in Europe? I can, because I'm actually witnessing it nearly every day of the week. A reference is made to Eurovision or a performance or a country, or the Eurovision family is massive around Europe, and it is an icon to be celebrated and not to be destroyed and not to be damaged in the manner in which I believe the governance is letting it be damaged at the moment.
Yeah, has it laid bare, though, the divisions within Europe and the European Union over Israel and its stances? You look at Netherlands, Ireland, Spain on one level, you look at Germany on the other, in terms of their stance of supporting Israel.
Yes, but that's what democracy is all about. At least, yes, it has laid bare the difference of opinion and the fact that we'll always have a different approach. Our Taoiseach Micheál Martin led out in defence of the two-state solution, in defence of the Palestinians. Other countries joined him. Others didn't in Europe. But we advocating through peaceful, democratic rule of law politics. That's what a functioning democracy in Europe or in Ireland is about. It's not about Netanyahu and that particular Israeli Prime Minister who is waging this, what I believe to be an illegal war, still, against the Palestinian people. It's not about that. So, yes, of course it has laid bare the divisions, but divisions in politics are to be attacked in the best sense of the word. They are to be worked on. Yeah. That's the whole purpose of the European Union. That's its unique selling point, which is wonderful. That's why I like European politics and I'm very engaged by it and excited by it.
Okay, so the final point, Anna gets in touch, says, why would an artist or artists be boycotted for politics? Not their fault. They don't cause the wars. Artists should be allowed to participate in all things related to their talent, be it music, dance or sport. They won through despite it all. Fair play to them and a nice song too.
Mm. She's so right. And I'm glad she brought up that point of distinction, because last year or the year before, when Bambi Thug, they were participating and there was a drive to bully Bambi Thug out of the competition, I stood up for them and I said, absolutely not. She's an artist. She or they are an artist. They shouldn't be targeted, etc. In this particular instance, Jerry, this year, RTE made a mature and a conservative decision in a timely manner, and they said before any artist was either entered or was selected or there was a contest, they said, no, we are not participating. And thereafter, then they made another editorial decision not to actually broadcast the event.
Okay. All right, Cynthia, we'll leave it there. We'll see how it plays out over the next few nights and the grand final on Saturday, and keep a close eye on how Israel do and all of that. But thanks for giving your view on the programme this morning. That's Cynthia Nivoracu there, Ireland South MEP.